today as we come to the table.
Just imagine if you were suddenly in a storm that was so fierce that you couldn't see for 14 days. I mean, they prayed for day to come, but even in the day they couldn't see. They didn't know where they were. They were in total panic in many of this process, even throwing the essential gear over just for survival. Now, you know things are really rough when you're throwing over the essential gear to survive, and that's the place where they are at this particular place, fearing for their lives. But the bottom line is, whatever we're doing and whatever God has called us to do, if we're in the middle of that, we're in the middle of God's will. And this may sound like a strange statement, but the middle of that storm, where they're all wondering, are they going to live or are they going to die, was the safest place that Paul could be.
Faith is like an anchor holding steady in a blinding storm. Today, Pastor Mark paints a vivid picture of Paul's ordeal. Lost in a storm so fierce it blocked sight for 14 days, panic set in. They tossed essential gear just to survive, fearing for their lives. Yet, even in that chaos, Paul was in the safest place, God's will. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When you're where God calls you, no storm can destroy you. God can keep you secure, even when fear screams otherwise. It's not about calm seas, but trusting His purpose in the tempest. His plan holds you through the worst. How do you find peace in God's will when life's storms rage around you? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 28, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Today, we're going to be looking at chapter 28, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, open them to chapter 28 of Acts, and let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning, this evening, whichever time this service is being shown. And we pray, God, now that You would pour out Your Spirit, God, and minister to Your people, that You'd be our teacher. God, we think about Paul and his journeys and how he ministered, Lord, everywhere that he went, and how Paul would have loved to have had the technology to do a recording and send it thousands of miles away from Rome to the church. And now we can do that, Lord, with modern technology. What a blessing. But Lord, we know that You're here and we know that You're there. And we pray now that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher as we go through the Word, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'll get my notes now. I have someone help me with the notes and I'll take that. And so again, what I want to look at today, guys, is this is what it says in Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. And although it may not seem like it at the time or on the surface, God is always at work." And really, when I see Paul's life and all we've been looking at on this trip, this really is brought to magnification. And there's a number of reasons for that, because even if we find ourselves in dangerous situations, scary situations, we go, God, where are You? Are You really a part of this? This is exactly where we left Paul last time. Paul, in this journey of the shipwreck, and remember 2 weeks stranded at sea and all that went with that. And now all of a sudden, God is releasing Paul to where Paul has now come to the island of Malta. And no doubt, Paul's probably thinking, you know, before God spoke to him, Lord, is this really Your, you know, am I right in line with Your plan? And he knew that God told him he was going to Rome, so I'm not questioning what Paul knew. But I'm making the application that we can oftentimes find ourselves right in the middle of God's will and horrible things be happening. And it's very easy to question, God, is this Your will? Am I right in the middle of Your will? But if you know that you're following the Lord, know that God is leading you. The Bible says that man makes his plans, but God directs the steps. And here's the thing that really jumps out to me about this particular passage. Again, is that oftentimes the way that God directs our steps is not the way we'd like them to be directed. It can be very scary, very fearful. That's where we find Paul today. Again, if you remember where we left off last time, Paul was with the 270 prisoners, the soldiers, and the crew members experiencing a 2-week storm in the Aegean Sea, and they barely make it to the island of Malta. Some 500 miles they were blown off course, not knowing where they were, and finally arriving there at Malta. And so just imagine if you were suddenly in a storm that was so fierce that you couldn't see for 14 days. I mean, they prayed for day to come, but even in the day they couldn't see. They didn't know where they were. They were in total panic in many of this process, even throwing the essential gear over just for survival. Now, you know things are really rough when you're throwing over the essential gear to survive, and that's the place where they are at this particular place, fearing for their lives. But the bottom line is, whatever we're doing and whatever God has called us to do, if we're in the middle of that, we're in the middle of God's will. And this may sound like a strange statement, but the middle of that storm, where they're all wondering, are they going to live or are they going to die, was the safest place that Paul could be, and those traveling with Paul, because God is in control of the storm. As a matter of fact, God led Paul into that storm, no doubt not for Paul's sake, but I believe that God led them into that two-week nightmare for the sake of those on that boat. Remember, this was a boat full of prisoners. This was a boat full of Roman soldiers. This was a boat full of shipmen that were there on the boat that didn't know Christ. And so many of them wouldn't even listen to the message that Paul was giving unless something broke them and brought them to the place that their ears would be opened. And that's where we are. God allowed them to be broken down, fearing for life, back against the wall, as we would say. And then what did God do? God put Paul right in the middle of that situation to be able to share the gospel. And you may be thinking, I really don't want God to put me in a situation where my life could be in danger so I can reach others. But truly, God will do what he needs to do to reach the lost. And if you find yourself in a tough situation, God is going to use that as a witness and a testimony to the people around you, even as he did Paul. And so remember, God didn't just love Paul. God loved everyone on that boat. So if this is what it took to open their eyes, God was willing to do it. He did it for us. He'll do it for those around us. And I think we need to get that perspective that sometimes storms are a little bit different than maybe we perceive. Rather than, God, why are you allowing this to happen? We should be saying, God, what is it that you want me to do in the midst of the storm? And how can I be used for your glory? Well, Paul is going to rise to the occasion, as he always does. And so again, they're going to arrive safely on shore here. That's where we saw them as they arrived there at Malta. And that's where we take up in chapter 28, verse 1. Listen to what it says. It says, now when they had escaped, they found out the island was called Malta. Now, this is interesting to me. After surviving the shipwreck, the ship storm that led to shipwreck at Malta for 2 weeks, they land on this island called Malta. And interesting, the meaning of Malta means two things. It means escape and it means honey. Isn't that just beautiful of the Lord? God will always give us an escape from the storm. He will always give us an escape from the dangerous situation, unless it's our time to go to heaven, and then God will give us the grace to do that. Maybe it's not as quickly as we wish it was or the way we wish it was, but God is faithful to do that. And I love the fact that Malta meant honey. Why? Because honey's sweet. Again, I think Paul and those on that ship needed some sweetness in their life after that terrible storm. And some of you right now, you're in the midst of a terrible storm or maybe coming out of it, and you need some sweetness in your life, maybe today. Is the day God will begin to give you that sweetness. But I can promise you this, God will take you to your Malta at the right time. He'll give you an escape and he'll give you the sweetness that is gonna make your life fresh and new, and you're gonna be more like Jesus on the other side. And I just wanna encourage you, if you're in a place right now like that, know that God is gonna be sending you that refreshment, that escape and that sweetness, even as he did for Paul and all those that were here on this ship. Very timely, very important, sweetness after a rough time. And it's oftentimes after the biggest storms when God does this. And why does God do this? Because after some of the biggest storms, God wants to restore us. It's a time of restoration. So again, I just want to say, if you're here this evening or this morning, depending on what service you're attending, and you're feeling like you're at the end of your rope, you're worn out, the storm has just drained you of everything, this may be the moment, and if not now, very soon, where God will begin to restore you by the power of his Holy Spirit. What did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So take heart, take heart. God is in control. He knows what he's doing, and God's gonna be faithful. The point is simply this. No matter how difficult the situations that we're going through, note this, God will eventually make a way of escape. He will add sweetness. He will strengthen us to carry on and somehow make it all together work for the good, even as he promised there in Romans 8:28. So whether you see it or not, God's working it all to good. Paul couldn't see it for a long time, but Paul did see it later. And we're going to see that once he's on the island of Malta, God uses it for even greater glory and the gospel being spread on this island. Notice what it says there in verse 2. It says, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because the rain that was falling and because of the cold. I love this, the fact that it says they showed them unusual kindness, because again, God was moving in their heart. They would need unusual kindness at a time like this. Maybe you're saying today, hey, I could use some unusual kindness. Although for the rough time that I've had, God will give that to you. Trust him. He will refresh, and he does that for them here. Now, it's interesting. Notice it says the natives here. Again, don't picture kind of the blow dart and the native, you know, running around the jungle. When it speaks of native here, it's talking about those that were native to Malta. That is, they weren't, you know, again, wild in that kind of sense, but they were natives of the land. They were the locals. And so this is, again, just the normal people that live there that now receive them. These were Roman citizens. Also, understand in Malta, there were also Roman citizens living on Malta, as well as Roman soldiers that had moved to Malta. Some retired, some active soldiers that were there. So it was an island that was used by Rome as well, but again, predominantly had all the neighbors that were there. And again, showing them the unusual kindness, I find that extremely sweet of the fact that they would do this. And again, God knowing they needed that unusual kindness. And notice what it says in verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, there's, again, several things to note here. First of all, notice that Paul was a servant. You know, Paul gets on the island, and rather than, again, he had shared with them that God had spoken to him, that an angel came. Paul was ministering to them the entire time. He encouraged them to eat. He was the one that was holding the whole thing together. And really, at one point, remember, they all believed that they may die. And yet God had now confirmed to Paul that he wouldn't die. So Paul was the strong one, if you will, that was there on the ship. And now, rather than sitting back and letting everyone just serve him because he had been the hero, what does Paul do? Paul does what every real servant does. He begins to serve. And one of the real tests to find out whether or not we're a servant of the Lord, or should I say, even in addition to that, servant and or a leader among God's people, is we should be serving. And if you're a true leader, you'll be serving naturally because that's who you are. But let me say that even if you're not a natural leader, then you can still say, God, help me to be a servant. Begin to start serving, and God will transform you into a servant. I believe that all of us as believers should be servants, and God expects us to be. But I think it's a good litmus test. Are we servants of the Lord? Or would we be those sitting back waiting on someone else to go get the sticks for the fire? And especially if you feel called to ministry, you, like Paul was, you need to be the one that's going to the fire, getting the sticks, and doing the work that needs to be done. And as I said, oftentimes, for those that are truly called to the ministry, like Paul was, it's something that happens naturally. Paul was a servant. You always see him serving in the scriptures. And again, I believe we as true Christians should be doing that as well. But notice this, as Paul was serving, very interesting, as he goes to get the firewood, it says a poisonous viper came out and latched onto his hand because of the heat. So it was in those sticks hiding, maybe even stiffened a little bit because of the cold. Suddenly it hits the fire and gets near the heat. This thing springs to life and bites Paul and latches onto his hand. Now, it's interesting. They say there are no more of these vipers on Malta today. According to secular history, people in defense of Paul rounded them all up. I guess you can't really round up snakes. But they found all the snakes and they killed them because they said, hey, this is the snake that killed Paul. So they didn't want them to live on that island any longer because, again, Paul being a beloved apostle of the church. And so they took care of all of them. But at this time, there was a viper that was there that was known to be very deadly. And one bite, you were done. I remember we took a trip to the Philippines a few years back, and the person we were staying with said, hey, if you go out in the backyard, don't, or be very careful. He said, we have found cobras and a brown snake back there. I forget the name of the brown snake. Cobra was enough. That's all I needed to hear. It's like, okay, cobra, I'll stay out of the backyard. But he said, now the cobra, you get bitten by them, you just kind of lay still, we'll try to get you to the hospital, do what we can. He said, if a brown snake from here bites you, you might as well sit down and just wait a few seconds because you'll be dead within about half a minute. So the venom was so deadly, it went straight to the heart through the bloodstream and would simply cut your heart off and you would die. Now, that kept me out of the backyard. I can assure you that. But this was a viper that was known to be deadly like that. Again, history tells us, very, very deadly viper. This is what bit Paul and latched onto his hand. And isn't it just like Satan, that evil serpent, as soon as we begin serving and warming the hearts of those around us? You know, I'm going to minister to your people, God. That's oftentimes when the enemy attacks. I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out in ministry for the Lord, and that seems like when it gets the hardest. And some of you have done that. You've stepped out for the Lord, and all of a sudden the enemy strikes, and you feel you've been bitten by the serpent. Well, that's very normal. Don't be discouraged. God will protect you from the viper, even as he protected Paul. And notice what happens here in verse 4. Look what it says. It says, again, the viper came out and latched onto his hand, fastened to his hand. By the way, the word fastened there means it latched on. it gives a picture of just, I'm not letting go. I mean, it dug deep, just bam, and was firmly into his hand. And it says in verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. Now, again, the natives see this event, and they saw it as the judgment of their gods. Incidentally, on that island, they worshiped a god by the name of, you guessed it, Justice. So when they saw this, they said, no doubt Justice is taking action against Paul. They knew the boat was filled with prisoners. And so they figured, well, Paul's one of those prisoners that although he survived this horrible ordeal, he did something so horrible that now the God of Justice is going to come in and take him out. And so that's how they viewed it. Now, on their behalf, remember, they didn't know the gospel yet. They didn't know about the things of the Bible. And most people in this day believed in the gods and the false gods. So this would have been very normal, although wrong. But now God is going to use this to bring them out of this deception that they're in and bring them into the truth of the gospel. Once again, allowing Paul to be in a dangerous situation to bring God glory so that God could show his power to those that were there on the island. Again, using it all for the gospel. I don't want you to forget, to lose that side of that. All of this is used by God for promoting of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for them on the cross and for us and rose again from the grave. And so, again, they make the same mistake here. They're saying, again, God is judging him. It's false judgment, but I want to make a point about this before we go on, because oftentimes we see other believers around us where the enemy seems to strike or something bad happens in their life. And someone will say, well, they're probably being judged by God. Guys, we have to be so careful about that. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's when the enemy strikes that it's actually we're doing exactly what God called us to do. So we have to be careful not to judge by sight. We have to judge by the fruit and by the evidence. And oftentimes when you're doing the greatest work you can for God, that's when things begin to get the toughest. And so we have to make sure that we're not passing those judgments because we don't know. It could be the fact that someone's right in the middle of God's will rather than actually out of God's will and being chastised. And so just be aware of that and realize that we can't be falsely judging one another. They were falsely judging Paul. And look what it says in verse 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. This would have blown the natives' minds. Now, there's several things to note here. First of all, the word fastened here back in verse 3, I already pointed that out. But literally, it means he was hanging on as tightly as he could. Paul just shook him off in the fire. And what's my point? Guys, I love this. Look, when we're serving God and doing what God has called us to do, no matter how firmly the enemy strikes and holds on to us, guys, God has given the ability to us just to shake it off. Shake it off in the fire. And what do I mean by that? I'm not, belittling the fact that the trial is real and the strike of the serpent may not be difficult. But there has to come a point where we trust God and say, God, look, you allowed this to happen in my life. I don't know why it happened, but you allowed it. And you know what we have to do? We have to shake it off. Just shake it off and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it. I know you're going to use it for your glory. Now, Paul's going to see how God does use it for his glory here very shortly, because again, he's going to use it to open up a door to minister, not just to the natives, but the leadership of the island. And God oftentimes opened doors to minister to the leadership that was there everywhere that Paul went. We saw that in Ephesus when they had the uproar. Remember, they went into the Temple of Diana. They left the Temple of Diana rather and went into the Ephesian theater. They were saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. We saw that a while back in Acts, doing that for 2 hours and all that happened there. And it says that Paul wanted to go in to address the crowd, but the leader, some of the important people of the city said, Paul, don't go in there. Because if you do that, then they're gonna wipe you out. So Paul didn't go in, but God didn't just open doors for Paul among the common people. God opened doors for Paul among the leaders of these cities, and that's what God is gonna do here with these leaders of this island as well. But again, I wanna make another point of this. It's interesting that Paul just shook off the serpent. You know, this is where the understanding of Mark 16, verses 14 through 18 comes into play. And I want to read this to you. Listen to what it says. It says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. This is after his resurrection, and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, here's the verse I want you to focus on in the context of where we are. Listen to what it says, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In other words, what God is saying here is that if we go out in the name of the Lord, under His power and authority, directed by Him, God will supernaturally protect us even in dangerous situations. Even if the serpent, literally a serpent strikes, God will protect us in the midst of that. I remember being in Romania on a mission trip many years back, and we were invited to some of the more poor areas to minister to the people there. And there was this poor family that invited us to come in, and we'd been warned when we got there, don't drink the water. You'll be very, very sick unless you know what water to drink. And so we took water with us and all the things when you travel. Sometimes it's not necessarily the water that's bad in the nation as much as our bodies aren't used to their water, and we can actually get sick. Sometimes there is something wrong in the water in certain areas, and we have to be very careful. But I remember we went into this one home, and the woman of the home was very kind, quickly bringing us water to drink. I believe it was her bringing water out to drink. And I remember looking at that water, and it was murky. And I remember thinking, okay, first of all, we're not supposed to be drinking the water here at all. Now I've got this murky water, but I didn't want to offend her because she had done such a sweet thing by bringing it out. You can only say so long and so many times, no, thank you. Very insistent. So I trusted God. I said, all right, God, you promised that you'd protect me. I drank it and I didn't get sick. God was faithful to His word. Now, the argument could be made, well, Mark, it wouldn't have made you sick anyway, but it sure looked like it would have. The point is, a lot of people misunderstand this passage, and they think that when they read this, again, this is where we have a lot of the snake handling in the South and some people drinking poison. That's not what this is saying. That's actually testing God. We're not supposed to be doing that. God didn't say try to hold snakes and try to drink poison to prove me. That's no different than when Satan said to Jesus, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple and God will protect you. The angels will bear you on their wings safely down to the ground. No, that's testing of God. Now, what he's saying is in this passage is, look, you go out in my name, these dangerous things happen, I will protect you. So Paul now knew that he had to go to Rome. He knew that God was going to complete his word. At the same time, Paul now is trusting in the word of God where he told them, no doubt Paul knowing this passage by then, Lord, you said that I won't be harmed. And God was no doubt ministering to Paul that he would be okay. And literally he was okay. And so I think it's important that we recognize, again, that passage there and the way that it's to be used. God will keep us safe and we can trust in him until he gets us to the place where he's ready to bring us into the kingdom. You know, anytime you're traveling or anytime you're living life or things happen, you're not going anywhere until God says so. So Paul wasn't going to go anywhere until God said so. God said, even if the serpent strikes, you're going to be okay. So God did it. Paul was okay. And notice what happens here in verse 7. And it says this in verse 7, verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, again, because of this poisonous viper. But after he had looked at him for a long time, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, that's, a very conclusion most people would come to in that situation. Obviously, I'm being silly. Let me not pick on the natives of the land again. Remember, they believed in all these gods. And so, as far as they knew, Paul could have literally been some god at that point that it appeared to them. And this wasn't the first time or the last time, or again, there was a time before this, I should say, where they did believe that Paul was a god in his travels. And so this was common, but Paul again is going to use this to turn the eyes back to the Lord. And we're going to see the people, God is going to use this to open a door for them to recognize that there's a God in Paul's life that is doing something supernatural. They knew that this couldn't be a normal thing. No one could do this without God doing it. And so what was happening now in Paul's life, they recognized that God was working. And note this, God will do things in your life to open up the eyes around you, as we noted earlier, sometimes even supernatural things, so that people can recognize that you are a servant of God and it will open up a door to minister to them.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, and we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.